on the line now, I have Niall Hatch from Birdwatch Ireland. Hello, Niall. How are you?
I'm very good, thanks. How are you?
Okay. What's the situation with birds now? I mean, weather's fluctuating, changing all the time. Mm. But a lot of people think it's natural and all sorts of things. But there's naysayers out there. So give us a sort of broad outline of what's happening.
Well, obviously there is natural change happening. This is the time of year when we're obviously in transition between the seasons, and it's the time of year when lots of birds are migrating. So lots of birds have left Ireland already, or in the process of leaving us. But then lots more are arriving to spend the winter here, because we think of birds traveling south for the winter. We have to remember that Ireland, for many birds, is their south for the winter. So a lot of birds coming down from the Arctic, from Scandinavia, Iceland, Greenland, northern Canada, places like that. Birds like ducks and geese and swans and wading birds that you see at estuaries and so forth. And that's part of the natural change with the seasons. But what we are definitely seeing as well is that weather patterns are becoming increasingly unpredictable, and that can have a big effect on birds and other wildlife. And climate change is definitely a real thing, and it's definitely having an impact on them. Quite how they're going to be able to adapt to it, nobody really knows. Some species will probably do okay, some species will suffer very badly, some birds will probably become extinct, other birds will probably colonize Ireland. It's really, it's a very uncertain time for wildlife, and something that we need to recognize with the climate crisis that we're in and the biodiversity crisis we're in both go hand in hand.
You seem to make it sound like a foregone conclusion to an extent, Niall, the way things are going. Can I ask you, is there many species like over the past, say, 10 years coming to Ireland had never been here before because of climate change?
I wouldn't say many, but certainly some, yes. Mm-hmm. So one very good example is a bird called the little egret, which I'm sure some listeners will have seen. If people are familiar with the grey heron, a very long-legged, long-necked water bird with a sharp beak. Well, sometimes now you see a bird that looks very similar. It's about two-thirds the size, so a little bit smaller, and it's pure white with black legs and with yellow feet. That's the little egret, and originally very much a bird of Africa and the Mediterranean region, but they colonised Ireland in around 1997 and have started to spread, and that's because of milder winters, not just in Ireland, but particularly in continental Europe, that allowed this bird to spread up. They need access to unfrozen water throughout all of the winter. And if you went back to the middle of the 20th century, that would be impossible in places like a lot of France, the Netherlands, Germany, Denmark. They'd be frozen. So these birds wouldn't have a chance to spread as far as Ireland. But what's happened over the last few decades, winter temperatures have become on average milder, warmer, and then what's happening is these birds are able to come to Ireland. Another bird that's done the same thing is a bird called the Mediterranean Gull, which is, as the name would suggest, from southern Europe. If you go somewhere like Dunleary in the winter, it's the commonest gull you see there. When I was a child growing up just beside Dunleary, you'd only dream of seeing a bird like that. It just seemed like ridiculous that a bird like that could ever be in Ireland. So that we are seeing these changes happening, yes. So there are two that we've gained, but there's ones we're losing. So we're seeing that a lot of our breeding wader birds, birds like curlew, for example, a lapwing, a redshank, Dunlin, birds like that. They are birds that breed in bogland and in farmland. Intensification of farming has affected them, but also the increased level of summer flooding that's happened because of climate change. So the corncrake is a bird that I'm sure some people have heard of before. It was a big sort of flagship conservation species here in Ireland for many years. Still clinging on, and there's still a population of about between 120 and 150 on some of the islands and off the west of Ireland and some parts of the western mainland as well. Mm-hmm. That's a tiny number. If you went back to the 1950s, there were about 50,000 pairs of these in Ireland. It's gone down 50,000 pairs to about 120, which is terrible.
Right.
And they've been wiped out in some of the strongholds, such as the Shannon Callows, right in the middle of Ireland, the Shannon floodplain, and that's because it's been flooding during the summer. It used to be that summer flooding in the Shannon Callows was a once in every 20-year event, but it's happened 9 years out of the last 10. Mm-hmm. And when you're a ground-nesting bird, nesting on the ground, in fields, when they flood, your eggs and your eggs are washed away, your chicks are drowned, and the population dwindles and eventually dies out. But I wouldn't say everything's a foregone conclusion. I wouldn't go as far as that. I think that we have to be careful to say that there is optimism, there is hope.
Okay.
But the situation is urgent. We need rapid change. We need changes to the way the common agricultural policy functions in Ireland. We need government to take this problem more seriously than they are. A lot of lip service being paid to it at the moment, but actions speak louder than words, and we need the government to do a lot more. We also need the European Union to do a lot more, and we need governments around the world to do a lot more. It's a global problem, but we in Ireland have a role to play in this, and that is important.
When you deal
too
with
late to stop certain changes, though.
Yeah, you deal with the public a lot. Do you think they can see what's happening at all? Because it seems to me like one of the statements I made there, it happens so often, you get a lot of people saying, actually, we had, say, for instance, 82, we'd heavy snow and all like that. So if we got a heavy snow last year, sure, that's not unusual. But it's the frequency which is happening. Do you think people are aware of that and recognise the real changes?
I think that there's certainly growing awareness. I think more people are understanding this, that the unpredictability of the weather that's happening, and the fact is that what seems will happen with climate change is that it could mean that Ireland's winters do get much, much colder than they are at the moment. Mm-hmm. Because what gives us mild winters here in Ireland, and given our latitude on the planet, our winters are incredibly mild. We think of Ireland as a cold place, but it really isn't. What'll happen is that's because of the Gulf Stream coming up from the Gulf of Mexico. That current of warm water, naturally warms our climate in here in Ireland. As sea levels rise and as temperatures in the ocean change, that Gulf Stream is predicted to shift and it will miss Ireland. And then what will happen is Ireland could become far, far colder in the winter. We could have a climate more like that of Iceland. Mm-hmm. Within just a few decades. If you look at where Ireland is on a map, if someone gets a globe or an atlas and looks at it, where our position is in terms of on the planet, we're particularly far north. We're sort of in the line with parts of Canada. We're sort of at the same latitude as the island of Hokkaido in northern Japan, mm-hmm. an island which goes to about minus 30 in the winter because they have no equivalent to the Gulf Stream to keep them warm. If the Gulf Stream shifts and we get Siberian winds coming in or Arctic winds coming down, this could make Ireland an incredibly cold place in the winter. We could have much wetter summers. I think we're starting to see that already, and it's the unpredictability of it. And when it comes to wildlife, wildlife has obviously evolved behaviours over thousands and millions of years, like birds' migrations, for example, the way that animals would breed, the timing of all of that, the availability of their food, all of that. And if that starts to go out of kilter, there's many animals that won't be able to cope with that. Mm-hmm. They just can't evolve fast enough to cope with it. And of course, we humans are animals too, and the impact on human beings is going to be atrocious. A lot of the burden will fall on those in society who are least able to afford it or to defend themselves against it.
Okay, I just want, this may sound like a stupid thing to say, but for instance, like if you get the polar bears and anyone that's restricted to a particular area, birds can fly. I don't know how intelligent they are, but instead of becoming endangered species or being wiped out altogether, can they not soar around and find places? This is good. How does it work that way to an extent? I don't know how silly that question is.
No, it's not a stupid question at all. It's a very, very good question. You're right. Some birds can do that, but most can't. I don't think it comes down to intelligence. It's about the actual availability of habitat. Different birds require vastly different habitats. So some require wetlands, some require cliffs, some require bogland, some require all sorts of different habitats. So it's not a one-size-fits-all for birds mm-hmm. by any means. But the fact is that the birds don't know how the climate is elsewhere, and some birds don't have the ability to migrate or to move. They just don't do it. They haven't evolved the need to do that. So often the birds that are the most migratory of all, birds like swallows and cuckoos, they're feeling the worst effects because their migratory journeys are being completely disrupted. So it's not a question of intelligence. The birds just don't know it's there. Mm-hmm. It's like someone saying to a human, your house is flooded. Why don't you just fly and build a house in space? We can't do that.
Yeah.
It's the same with birds, just not physically possible.
Yeah. Okay, and you're talking there about the curlew. Any other birds that are becoming endangered? Have we lost any species over the years?
There's only in recent decades, there's only one Irish breeding species that has become completely extinct. That's a bird called the corn bunting, which was formerly an absolutely abundant bird throughout the Irish countryside and Irish farmlands. If you went back, let's say 200 years, it would have been a bird that everybody would have known. It would have been one of the most common birds around. It disappeared from Ireland in 1991, and intensification of farming seems to have played a big role there. We don't know the impact of climate change is probably more down to farming in this case and sort of the intensive nature of that and the loss of small holdings and so forth. That's a bird that's still quite common in parts of southern Europe, so the species still exists, but in Ireland it's extinct. We haven't lost any other species, but what we have seen is that their populations of many have been massively reduced. So the curlew is one we're predicting could be heading for extinction as a breeding species in Ireland within 10 years. We'd probably still get winter visitors coming here. Curlews that breed elsewhere coming for the winter, but the core breeding population is vanishing. We're seeing problems with some of our seabirds. They're having difficulties when it comes to things like overfishing and the changes in the marine environment. That's having a big effect for many of those birds. But a lot of our farmland birds are doing particularly badly as well. Destruction of hedgerows, as I said, mm-hmm. summer flooding, unpredictability of weather, lack of availability of food, declines in insects and also pollinating and insects which also help propagate plants, but also the insects that the birds eat themselves. It's all having a big knock-on effect. And that's one of the reasons why we focus so much attention in Birdwatch Ireland as a conservation charity on monitoring bird populations, because mm-hmm. the birds are at the top of their food chains. So when we see changes in their populations, for good or bad, we know that that's reflecting changes deeper down in the environment. We know that that's reflecting changes to insect populations, to plant populations, soil bacteria, fungus, all these things that are all part of this intricate web of life that we humans depend on as well. And we depend on it very, very much. I think there's often a tendency to think of nature as something we have to battle against, or something mm-hmm. that's an enemy of ours. We are part and parcel of it, and we'll never win a battle against nature.
Certainly, Well, we know what we have to do now about the carbon footprint. Was there anything practical we can do in the meantime? I don't know, maybe leaving out food or whatever, changing something around us mm-hmm. while we're sorting out the weather. We can't do too much about it at the moment.
Well, certainly one thing people can do, feeding birds in your garden certainly helps. Mm-hmm. It's worth remembering, though, that by all means do it. It's a very worthwhile thing to do and a great way to learn about them, but it's only benefiting a very small number of the species of bird we have in Ireland. So we have, there's over 450 different species of bird that have been recorded in Ireland. Of those, maybe 25 visit Irish gardens, so we're talking in a small fraction, and they tend to be very common birds that aren't in any trouble. They're the most adaptable of all. Having said that, by all means, feed them and look after them. You get lots of tips on that at our website, birdwatchireland.ie. You can ask us about it on Facebook. I think that's important. I think we all need to look at the way that we live our lives. We do need to do more to reduce plastic waste, polluting our oceans and clogging up our waterways. We do need to, as you said, reduce our carbon footprint. Mm-hmm. We do need to rely a lot less on fossil fuels. But I think the most important thing of all that people can do is everybody out there is concerned about this, to let the decision makers and politicians know that this is what's important to them. Mm-hmm. When they come campaigning in the next general election, whatever party they're from, ask them what their position is on biodiversity, not just on climate, on biodiversity as well, like the wealth of living things that we have here in Ireland, what they're going to do to support our environment, what action they're going to take, and how they're going to do their best to make sure that Ireland lives up to its international commitments on things like the carbon emissions and so mm-hmm. forth, which we are on course to fail on massively.
Okay, and they're not doing too good at the moment. Oh, finally, before I let you go, sorry for interrupting you, but I don't want to keep you too long, but the last thing now is about the Irish Garden Board Survey, and that returns this December.
That's right, it's starting on the 2nd of December. We've been doing this for 30 years now. It's a fantastic survey, and we'd love as many listeners as possible to take part in it. The idea is that you take note on a special form that we have. You take note of the different bird species that visit your garden, or it could be a park or a school ground, wherever, as long as it's like a consistent piece of land that you visit, to see over the 13-week period the highest number of each species that you see each week. I know that sounds a little bit complicated, but there's full instructions on our website, birdwatchireland.ie, and all the details are there. And then we have thousands of people doing this for us across Ireland, and all the data we gather from this tells us a huge amount about how our collections are doing. Sometimes people think that a conservation organisation like Birdwatch Ireland would be most concerned about monitoring our rare species, and we are, but it's also absolutely vital to monitor and study our common species, because we actually tell a lot more about the healthy environment from the changes in their populations. It's because there's so many more of them, so we see the pattern much more easily. Mm-hmm. And if we get thousands of people across Ireland doing the survey, we can get a huge amount of data that would be impossible to get elsewhere. It's what we call a citizen science initiative. We want people out there to become scientists and gather data for us. And it's very easy to do. It doesn't take much much knowledge. Mm-hmm. If you know a bit about birds, that's all it takes. And there's lots of information on our website about that. And just give it a go. It becomes very addictive as well, I must warn you. So if people do get started on it, you'd be surprised how quickly you get hooked. And especially if your neighbours get involved, you're always trying to outdo each other with the birds you have in your garden. But it really is good. So that's the Irish Garden Bird Survey. Starts 2nd of December, birdwatchireland.ie for all the details.
Thank you very much. As you're living proof of how we can get addicted to it. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thanks a minute. Thanks for having
me. Bye-bye. And of course, that's Niall Hatch there from Birdwatch Ireland and birdwatchireland.ie. You can look up everything that we've been talking about as well. Some great stuff up there on the site, but also about that garden study taking place starting on the 2nd of December.